Okay, just can't stop reading the Word of God, can we? Keep going. Brilliant. Right, let me get all sorted. Hang on. Got the wrong pockets on today. So, if you open your Bible to Isaiah 6, we're going to be reading from Isaiah today. So, we're carrying on our saturated theme. If you're not aware, we are running with a theme, and it's saturated. And we're looking today at this topic of holiness, of what it is to be saturated with this holiness of God. When I first became a Christian, I went to see our vicar, and I came from a home where the Bible wasn't read, you know, there wasn't a Bible in the home, and he said, "Lydia, I've bought you a Bible." And I remember holding this Bible thinking, wow, it's a bit scary as well, it's quite small print. He did get me one with pictures in, bless him, I think that was a sign. But I stood there with this Bible thinking, what a gift that this vicar's bought me this Bible. And then he said, "I've got two other books for you." And he gave me one book, which was about all the revivals that have happened across this world. And he said, "I want you to read that book as well. Because what you read in the Bible, what you read in this book, you will see lived out in these stories of revival." And so that just widened my vision. I remember reading the Bible and thinking, that's lovely, but how does it work on earth? And I read these stories of revival, and suddenly I was wrecked to just go to church on a Sunday. I just couldn't do that anymore because I'd seen people live out this very gospel of Jesus and see God turn up in communities in such amazing ways. I read that book, I was wrecked. And then he said, "After you've read that book, I want you to read this book." And it was a book on holiness. And it was a book by Jerry Bridges, and it was called The Pursuit of Holiness. It was quite a small book, but I remember the opening passage of this book. And it said, in a roundabout way, he said about, if you was thirsty, and I gave you a cup of water, lovely, pure water to drink, you'd be happy and you'd drink it, right? He said, "But what happens if you're thirsty and I gave you a cup of water and said, you can drink this, but just a small disclaimer, it's 1% sewage water. Would you want to drink it?" If someone said, "Here's a cup," I weed in it a little bit, but there you go. Would we drink it? No. And so he was saying, so why is it different for the Christian life? Why are we asking the world to look at us and to join in with the life that we have when it's not going to be good for them? That we need to purify our lives that we might be good news to the world around us. So I believe that as the church today, we are missing this pursuit of holiness. That what the community and the world around us need today is that sort of encounter with the holiness of God. Wouldn't it be beautiful to see that? The holy bride living out the holy ways of God. That we're not seeking after the blessings of God, but we're seeking after that holy God that blesses. Hosea 10:12 says, "Seek the Lord until he comes and showers righteousness on you." Are we seeking the Lord until he showers that righteousness on us? Isaiah 35 says it in another way, that we're to live in the highway of holiness. But are we living in the way of holiness? Because this holiness isn't something we can conjure up, but it's the complete work of grace, the grace of Jesus in our lives. And I believe it is something that the world is crying out for. They want to see holiness. What is it? What does it look like? 1 Peter 1 says, "Be holy, for I am holy." It's a command from God that we're given to be holy. We've got messed up a little bit that we think actually the command is to be powerful and to be victorious, and that's true. There is a power to live in a life with Jesus, but he calls us to be holy. Mary Booth when she was talking about revival and ways to do mission. I love it that this quote I'm going to share in a minute where she talks about that it's not about being more spectacular, getting smoke machines, getting this or that. I'm sure they didn't have smoke machines in those days, but you know, whatever it is, a new banner, is not what we need. And she said this is how they prayed for revival. She said, how we prayed for revival. We did not care whether it was old-fashioned or not. What we asked for was that it should be such that would cleanse and revive his children and set them on fire to win others. As the church today, I wonder if we've got too caught up with whether we're modern enough, contemporary enough, relevant enough. We're actually, are we praying for the cleansing of the Holy Spirit of God upon our lives, that we might win others for Jesus? The very heart of a missionary is to be holy and to live a holy life. So holiness before the world, I believe, really offers a glimpse of who Jesus really is, of who God really is. Are we asking for that cleansing of God upon our lives today? Are we asking for the cleansing of him in how we live? So what is holiness? There's many pictures of what holiness can look like. We can picture holiness as someone who maybe prances around in a robe or wears a sort of a certain type of outfit, that we can get caught up on what the sort of external vision of what holiness might look like. We might think someone who's holy just wafts around life, never doing anything wrong, yeah? The holiness is the one that, oh no, I can stop there. Holiness isn't all of these things, but holiness is in the internal work of a holy God in our life that can't help but shape the lifestyle around us. We get so caught up on lifestyle and forget that it's a work of grace that is within us. So holiness is to be set apart. And the very word for the church is the called out ones. That we, the church, are not the ones that just muddle in, sprinkle a bit of Jesus on it, and I think it'd be okay. No, we're the called out ones of God. And what have we been called out to be? We've been called out to be holy, set apart, in the world but not of the world. Totally and utterly set apart. And this is a picture that we get of God. Adam and Eve in the garden, we often relate it to that. Oh, wasn't it wonderful, the close communion they had with God, that they could talk to him in the gentle breeze of the day. It sounds gorgeous, doesn't it? But actually, this is Adam and Eve touching the holiness of God. That in a while that we're going to look at causes Isaiah to fear for his life. Adam and Eve aren't just in this lovely relationship, but they're walking in the very presence, in close communion, one flesh, if you like, with the holiness of God. Adam and Eve were holy. They were holy before God. And we know how the rest of that story goes. But holiness is not a strict set of rules that we set out to say this is what holiness looks like. But holiness is the work of God in our lives that spills out into our very lifestyle and how we live. I know we've been just trampled down as the church, if you like, of people making up the rules. Of this is what holy looks like. You come to church with a hat on. That is holy. You wear your best. That's holy. You never say a swear word. We make up these rules where actually the holiness of God is found in here. And it's expressed through the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. 1 Peter 2 says that you are a chosen people. This is us, the church, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. And then he says before it, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, and be holy because I am holy. God calls us to be holy. It's not the vicar. It's not your church leader. It's God. Calls us to be holy. So let us read Isaiah 6, because I think this gives us a picture of a lifestyle of holiness, believe it or not, it is in there. So Isaiah 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their faces, with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they were flying. And they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. At the sound of their voice, the doorpost and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Imagine this vision that Isaiah is finding himself in. Imagine you came to church today. You walked in those doors, and you weren't greeted with a smiley David Baker or Malcolm McDonald or me, but you was greeted with a being that filled this space. What would you do? The whole room filled with this holy being that you know if you even look at it, you might die. That all the creatures of heaven are moving around this being, and even they are needing to cover themselves with every wing possible, covering themselves from the presence of this holy God. This one so set apart that even if you looked at him, you might die. And they are singing across to one another. Have you noticed that? They can't even sing it to him because he's so set apart, so holy, that these beings are having to sing across to one another, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. They can't even sing it to him. Imagine that. I think we're caught in today where it's true that God is love, but I think we're more comfortable with singing love, love, love is the God Almighty. But actually, he's holy. He is love. But ultimately, he's holy. So you walk into church and you see that. How would you worship? What would you do? What would you recount in your mind? I just shouted at my husband on the way here. Oh, no. Sorry, we didn't, by the way. We came separately. But what would come to your mind? What would your response be if you met with this massive being that was so holy? And as the angels speak to one another, the whole place is filled with smoke, which is really the presence of God, so you can't escape it. It's everywhere. What would you do? Because this is a reality for us today. That we're not some throne room over there, but through the work of Jesus, actually our everyday life is found in this throne room that has the presence of a holy God Almighty with us wherever we go. So this isn't something we're just waiting to happen. It's not just something poor Isaiah had to go through. But it's something that we live in the reality as born-again believers. We're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. His holy temple is now alive within us. And we're constantly living in this place where there's a holy being in our lives. Imagine that. How would you live? We'd live differently. We'd live in awe. This holy God. So what does Isaiah do? I think he says the words a bit more eloquent than me. Don't know what would come out my mouth. But he says, woe to me. Woe to me, this man with unclean lips. And this is literally him saying the Hebrew root for this. He is literally saying, I'm going to be destroyed. I've come into contact with this being. And his last sort of declaration is, I'm going to be destroyed. This being is so set apart from me, so set apart from my lifestyle. I'm going to be destroyed. And he says, I love what he says. He says, well, I don't love what he says, poor Isaiah. He says, woe to me, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. In that moment where he's faced before this holy God, he knows of the personal sin in his life. He knows of the things that are unclean in his life. And then he knows of the lifestyle that he's living is so unclean. I live among unclean people. How I live my life is not right before this holy being. We too are like Isaiah. We too are before this holy God. But then what happens? We see the seraph come and take a coal from the altar of the throne room of God. And from this altar comes and burns the lips of Isaiah and makes him holy. It's familiar, isn't it? Someone has paid the price in that moment. Imagine Isaiah when this coal from that altar where it was so holy came and touched him. He must have been like, I'm living. I'm still alive. Someone's paid the price. A price has been paid. Where Isaiah should die, he is living. And he has been cleansed and he has been made holy. This is like us. We have someone who has paid the price. That we can now live under this holiness of God. We can see God. We can speak to God. We can pray to God. We can have relationship with God. And we do not die. It's because someone's paid the price. And it was Jesus. As the coal came from the altar, we have the Son, Jesus Christ, who was sent from the altar, the throne room of God, to come amongst us. To walk amongst us, to show what it is to live a holy and blameless life before this world. And he went to that cross, and we so often think, oh, the cross is about dying for our sins. Yes, it is. But on that cross, he won holiness for us, that we were given a new name, a holy nation. And he died on that cross, and we know then he came and he rose to new life. And then he went back to the altar. He went back to the right hand of the Father. And then what did he do? He sent the Holy Spirit to come upon us, the bride of Christ. The Holy Spirit came from the throne room of grace and has touched us. And as we come into an encounter with this Holy Spirit, as we repent and turn away from all the things that we've done wrong, when we believe that Jesus has died on the cross for us, and we invite the infilling of the Holy Spirit, we're made new. We become set apart into that throne room of grace with the Father Almighty, the Holy One who loves us and calls us by a new name. In Colossians 1, it speaks of this. It says, now he who has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free of accusation. 2 Timothy says something similar. He saved us to be holy, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purposes. We've been made holy. Jesus has stepped down and touched us to make us holy. Then what's our response? What's our response to this holiness? That we start prancing around in front of the world saying, oh, I'm very holy. No. The response is one of mission. It's to go out into the darkest, most desolate places of the world and to shine as the holy ones of Jesus. Isaiah says, when I love how Lord asked questions in the Old Testament, who should I send? This one person in front of me. He does the same with Moses. Who? Who should I send? And Moses says, here I am. Send me. And I think it's interesting that Isaiah's lips get anointed. They get purified. They get cleansed. Because he's going to be a prophet that speaks out the holiness of God. And it's always one of mission to go out and to share this wonderful news that we have a way back into the holiness of God. Romans 8 says that we're not to conform to the pattern of this world, but to be filled with the Holy Spirit for the renewing of our mind. I'm often reminded of the adulterous woman in the gospel, I think it's John 8, I think, where this woman is caught in adultery and she's flung before everyone, naked and exposed. And Jesus comes to her and he writes something in the sand. We know this story, right? And he writes something in the sand and suddenly he's like, those without sin, cast the first stone, and they all drop the stones and go a bit embarrassed. And there's this woman still there, naked, ashamed. And Jesus completely forgives her in that moment. And I love that story because that's how I felt coming to faith. I remember feeling so exposed to the world around me, so exposed to the church even. It was so obvious of what my lifestyle had been. But what does Jesus do? In that moment, Jesus meets with her. She encounters his kingdom. She's been made new. She's been forgiven. And it doesn't say, but I wonder if she said, you are the Lord. You are the Messiah. And then what does Jesus say to her? Which challenged me to the core when I was a new believer. Now go sin no more. Go sin no more. There was a hallowing of that woman. There was a holiness put in that woman on that day. That Jesus had the confidence to say to her, now go sin no more. There's a new lifestyle for you now. There's a new way. There's another way to live, and it's one of holiness. Go sin no more. So we're called to a lifestyle of holiness. Hebrews 12 says, make every effort to be holy. So we're to have a life that is the daily pursuit of holiness. I know when I first met with Jesus, some of you know my story, it was quite dramatic. Went in the room, not a Christian, came out completely saved, redeemed and set free. It was a wonderful thing. And I remember driving home thinking, life is never going to be the same ever again. And I thought, job done. There we go. I'm a Christian. If you saw me in that first year of discipleship, I was such a mess. I remember some lady actually coming up to me in church. She loved me, so she was concerned about me. Because of my lifestyle and going clean for quite a while, everything of my body was purging. I was full of this acne kind of spots. I looked terrible. And she was like, oh, Lydia, what just happened to you? I was like, I'm walking out holiness. Not the best advert for holiness, but it was a lifestyle and it really was about a pursuit of holiness. To walk out a new way with God, that the old has gone and the new has come. But I had to set my gaze and my whole life to pursue holiness, to just chase down this holy God, that I had to go sin no more. You know, that's not really possible we do still sin. But the pursuit is one of holiness. So we need to be holy as God is holy. And we need to pursue his holy way. We need to make every effort in every realm of our lives to be holy. So I just want to give a couple of ways in which you could try to live out this holiness. And this is something I'm still living out. It wasn't done after that year, by the way. I still get people to me now go, "Oh, you right? Walking out holiness." You have to make decisions and choices which aren't always popular to those around you. You have to switch the TV off sometimes when others say, "What are you doing? It's only a bit of that." You have to choose not to speak sometimes because you know it's going to be unholy talk. You have to choose some lifestyle choices that might not be popular, but they are set apart and they are for God. So the first I would say for a lifestyle of holiness is get the right vision of God. Pick up this Bible, this beautiful Bible, and read of the God that is found in here. The podcast today will not tell you of this holy God. Some might. They will tell you of a God who just cuddles you in your sin. He does, by the way, but it's not the only story. Read Isaiah. If you want to challenge, read Revelations. That's where we see this holiness of God, this one in whom we before. Because when we have that vision of who God is, suddenly doing the wrong thing, your appetite isn't there. You get a new appetite to please this holy God. You know, it's fearing God that leads to life. It's the fear of God that leads to life. It's the fear of this holiness, this one who gave it all, who died for me to be holy. In that moment where I can go this way or I can go that way, we need to have that fresh vision of who he is. So I encourage you, if you want to pursue a life of holiness, learn about the holy God, the one who is the Lord of all, King of everything. Because just like Isaiah, it's not just him that had to face God in that capacity. We face him every day in that way, in how we live. But if you read the book of Revelation, you'll find something else out. That he's coming again. That holy, majestic, almighty God is coming again. And it's not going to be the high five in Jesus. It's going to be the Jesus filled with all glory, all majesty, and he's going to stand before us. And I want to urge you, church, not to let a momentary pleasure here on earth affect anything of that moment. Won't we want to just stand there and talk about how we just mothered the poor? We fed the hungry. We called the orphan in. We want to be talking about those things. We don't want to be flat on our face, just so ashamed of all the things we've done. Have that vision, and that vision that he's coming again. And then it's to be filled with Holy Scripture, and to be filled with his Holy Spirit. It really isn't rocket science. I know you're probably thinking, this is her go-to plan for every topic. It really is. You don't graduate from that. To read the Holy Scriptures. What does Romans say? By the renewing of your mind. My mind had to be renewed. I thought it was okay to live certain ways. And the world, the culture around you will say, "Oh, that's all right. Everyone does it." But we need the renewing of the mind. And it's found in this Bible. The holiness of God. We need to be filled with his Holy Scriptures. And then we need to be filled with his Holy Spirit. The work of holiness is through the grace of the Holy Spirit at work in us. Holiness is not, I'm going to really try hard today to be holy. It doesn't work. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Isaiah needed to be touched from the altar of that throne room. And we daily need to be touched from that altar by the Holy Spirit in filling our lives. And then we need to live a life of quick repentance. The enemy loves nothing more than for you to do something wrong and for him to magnify it, make it bigger than what it is, and then before you know it, it becomes hidden and shameful, and you're not going to tell anyone, let alone tell God. It's all right. Repentance. He's given us a way back to that place of holiness, to live a life of repentance. So I want to encourage us to be mindful of who he is. That when you're thinking about mission, instead of just getting your toolbox of, I don't know, tourist plans. I don't know what you do on mission. I've only ever gone to Loughton. That's my mission field. Whatever you do for mission, we try to get a different toolkit. Like we need this, we need that, we need this, we need that. We need to be gifted, we need to be talented, we need to have all these things, and all of that. But ultimately, we need this touch of the holiness of God, because it's in that place, when we're walking out his holiness, that we are truly good news to the world around us. So I want to say to us, church, get ready. Get ready. Don't just think he's so big and scary. He is. But Jesus has given us a way. He has come down from that throne room and touched us with the very holiness of the God Almighty. Shall we pray? Let's pray. Just want to pray for people. Isaiah was touched on the lips because he needed to be made holy to do the work of mission, to do the work of a prophet. And I just sense there's some people here today that know that there's areas of their life that needs the cleansing of God in it. We need the cleansing of the Holy Spirit, the cleansing of the blood of Jesus. And I just wonder if those parts in life where we're so struggling with are actually the parts of our life where we're going to see the greatest move of God's mission in our lives. So if you're mindful of any area that you want him to come and touch today, just open up your hands where you're at, or just simply pray. And I just want to simply pray for you right now. Father God, I thank you that Jesus has given us a way to be made holy. And I pray now, Lord God, wherever people are offering up themselves today, I pray that you will touch that area of their life with just such radical holiness. Father, I pray for holiness to touch our families, of how we speak to one another and love one another. I pray that you will touch us with holiness. Father, for what we're consuming our lives with, what we're filling our eyes with, what we're watching on our screens, Father God, I pray that you will touch us afresh with your Holy Spirit. Teach us your ways. Father, where we're using our hands to gather rather than to give, may you touch us with your holiness. Make our hands holy, Jesus. Father, where we're using our talents for our own gain and not for your glory, I pray that you touch us with holiness. And I pray now, Lord God, through your Spirit and through the reading of your word this coming week, that we're not just given a what not to do list, but a fresh vision of what we are to do. To be holy as God is holy. So I pray now, Lord God, fill us afresh. Cleanse us. Renew us. And send us out Father, send us into the parts of the world, the parts of our communities that so need the holiness of God. And I pray through the teaching of your word, Lord God, that we can't become of it, but we will be in it. And we pray for that move of holiness. Father, I pray like in the revivals that when people even came into the village, they were convicted of sin. Father, I pray that Loughton would be a place where people are convicted of holiness, that they need you. So come and touch us afresh, I pray. In your name. Amen.